Now, he goes on to say here that God intends to destroy the army of Assyria. And God says, hast thou not heard, verse 25, long ago how I've done it? And of ancient times have I formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste fenced cities and to ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it's grown up. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in, thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I'll put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I'll turn thee back by the way which thou camest. God says, you're coming down into my land, you've made your boast, but I'm going to put hooks in your jaws. I'll pull you right up out of the land. I'm going to send you back home, give you a good spanking, and send you home. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. In other words, God says he won't even be able to get the crop that is growing out in the fields right now. And he goes on and makes this statement, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. Now you see Isaiah's making a very bold statement, but of course he's giving the word of the Lord. And the question is Isaiah a true prophet? You see, when Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, somebody said, my, that's a great prophecy. When'll it take place? Suppose he'd say, well, be 700 years. And I'm sure that a great many folk would look at each other and say, well, Brother Isaiah, we don't know whether that'll be true or not. None of us will be around. But now there is an enemy outside the gates of Jerusalem. Assyria has swept everything before them. All nations have fallen before them, and they were feared and dreaded in the ancient world. They've come to the gates of Jerusalem and withdrawn. Now God said, the army will be out there, but they are not even going to be able to besiege this city. They'll not even shoot an arrow into the city. Now, you think that over for a moment. There are 100,000 soldiers around the walls of Jerusalem. Out of that many, you'd certainly find some trigger-happy soldier with a bow and arrow, and maybe he just wants to see what might happen, and he puts an arrow in a bow, he pulls the bow and shoots it over the wall of Jerusalem. My friend, if he does that, Isaiah is not a true prophet of God. God says not an arrow is going to fall in that city. And he says it by the mouth of Isaiah. Now that's the way you tell whether a prophet's true or not. False prophet could never have made a statement like that. Now God says, I'm going to save this city, and the reason I'm going to save it is this, by the way that he came by, the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. God does many things for his name's sake. And for my servant David's sake. That's important too. You see, God loved David. He did many things for David's sake. And friends, David had a greater son. A virgin-born son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God does many things for him. He'll save sinners that will trust him as Savior. It's a wonderful thing. For my servant David's sake, for Christ's sake. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. God does it for him, not for us. Now, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out, And he smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. You know, I love the way this translation has it. When they woke in the morning, they were all dead corpses. But friends, they didn't wake in the morning. They didn't wake. Why didn't they wake? Well, they were dead. Those that did wake up found out that there were about 185,000 dead out there. They didn't wake up. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, and he went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Isn't that interesting? That prophecy was literally fulfilled in that day.